Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, this old month of June just keeps kind of flying away on us, doesn't it? Who would have believed June 10th already, 2019? And as I prayed before we went on the air, Lord ain't making another one. This is the day. This is the day that Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. He hasn't made tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. All we can do, baby, all we have is the next heartbeat, the next breath in our lung, the next step in our feet or our legs. And just pray that everything we say and we do here this morning is going to glorify the Lord. Man, oh, man, a lot going on. You know, it's all hands on deck week, and I begin to get really, really excited. Energy is beginning to build, and I get excited because I get to see so many of you that I haven't seen in a while. And our numbers are climbing, and for those of you who still are kind of hesitant about whether or not you should come, I'm just telling you, don't miss it. Don't miss it. We got a great, great weekend plan. Jared, maybe you can throw that up there, all hands on deck. Mike Blake gives us this fabulous place. For those of you who were here last year, you know, Mike Blake gives us this fabulous two-acre lot right on Buckeye Lake to hold our event. We're going to put up a big tent. Larry's coming in. Larry's cooking. That's why, listen, if you come and you need to let us know, because we have to prepare food. Larry and Serge is going to help with the food, and some others are going to help with the food, and just great, great. I mean, I'm excited. The synergy's building. Chad's coming in already on Wednesday. I got guys that are coming in on Thursday. My lovely little wife's going to be gone for a couple days right in the middle of it. She has to, well, it's a long story. She'll be gone Tuesday, and Wednesday gets back on Thursday. And so we're scrambling, trying to get everything organized, ready to go here. And it's going to be something, man. It's going to be something. Now, you say, Coach, what are we going to do? Well, last year, I made the announcement here. I told everybody what we were going to do and where we're going to be for people who wanted to come and join us. And all that did was let the enemy know where we're going to be. So when they'll just have to find us, won't they? They'll just have to find us. And if you get here, or if you text me or email me, that would be a good way. Say, Coach, listen, I'm coming from Mansfield. Where are you going to be, Coach? I want to join you. I'll tell you where we're going to be, anything like that. But I'm just not going to broadcast openly our schedule like I did last year. We got a lot of great things, a lot of edgy. Can I use that word? Got a lot of edgy things scheduled. Going to be great. And your faith is going to grow. Your fellowship's going to grow. And if Larry does a good enough job, your belly's going to grow. So $30. We asked for $30 just because it helps cover our expenses. We're feeding everybody three meals, some donuts and coffee. And we're putting up the tent and just a lot of stuff going on, man. Just a lot of. So again, all hands on deck. We need you here. The homos are out of. To say, Jared, will that ban me off of Facebook? Say that, huh? The homos are getting out of control. Well, see, the homos are getting out of control because it's the spirit, folks. It's the spirit. As Alan often says, it's the Antichrist spirit that's alive and well. It's like it's got a magnetism to it, and it just tracks other like-minded spirits. And the country is totally and completely, we're lost, man. We are a lost country, aren't we? I want you to think about some of you. I'm 66. Some of you that are my age, I remember the day. I'm telling you the truth. I remember the day when I went to Otterbein College in 1971. I graduated high school in 1973, sheltered in this little community. Went to Otterbein College in 1971, and it took me about 3 months before I found out that the theater department at embedded with homos. I had never heard nor seen of a homosexual in my life. It's 1971. then as my career continued at Otterbein, my 4 years there at Otterbein, they became, there were more of them that came out. But they were always, always just a very, so you know, friends, that the statistics show us that you don't believe this. I was going to find this thing, but I didn't have time this morning. You know, really, the homosexual movement's about 3%. Tops. It's about 3%. We'll say that again. 3%. Now, they say it's 10%. That's what they try to tell us, right? Well, here's what I always love to use this comparison. The African-American population in the United States is about 13%. And they want you to believe, and they want me to believe, that there are as many homosexuals as there are blacks in America. Let that sink in a minute. Go into the inner cities of any city in America, where the really, let's be honest, that's where a majority of the black populations are living. They're still living in the inner cities. Yes, they're out in the suburbs. Yes, they're out here in the country. I'm not trying to make this sound anything that it's not. But you go into the inner city and you will find entire sections. If I were to go into Columbus right now, Columbus East, Linda McKinley, see, Brookhaven closed, I think, Afrocentric, Independence, Briggs. That's six high schools in Columbus that are almost exclusively African American. Why? Because they congregate. They live in neighborhoods, right? It's no nice way to say it. I'll play that. Maybe I'll pull out that Muhammad Ali "Bluebirds Sang with Bluebirds" thing. So anyway, they tell us that there are as many homosexuals as there are African Americans. Now in Columbus, they have what's called the Short North, and the Short North is the theater area. It's the shopping area. The Short North of Columbus, Ohio, is where the homosexuals are. For the most part, I mean, there are other places, Victorian Village, there are other places. But the Short North, the Short North meaning not way north, but just a little bit north of town, the Arena District, that's where the homosexuals are. So we know that there's a very small conclave of gays that live together in the Short North. But yet we have Lyndon McKinley, as I said, we have Afrocentric, we have Briggs, we have Independence, the black communities. How can we be foolish enough to think that there's as many blacks, homosexuals as there are blacks? Crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. And yet they're running everything. There's gay pride parades in every city. We just had one here. Hey, Jared, pull up the thing that says Mike Black. It should say Blake. I just noticed I spelled it wrong. Mike Blake. God bless Mike Blake. Oh, I love Mike Blake. This is Mike's. By the way, Mike's the one who owns the property we're going to be this weekend. Here's dumb me. This is dumb me. There was a homosexual event here in Newark, at our home area. It's about 9 miles from where I live. This weekend, I didn't even know. Michelle went with a few girls and did a prayer walk on it on a Friday, I think it was. She did a prayer walk for the event that was being held on Saturday. And dumb me, I didn't even know. I didn't even know. And you know, our local newspaper, you know what our local newspaper said? Nearly two dozen showed up. Nearly two dozen. Now, hang on a minute. What does it mean, nearly two dozen? Is that eight? Is that 18? That's nearly two dozen. Is 13 nearly two dozen? Was it two dozen or was it nearly two dozen? Why did it even say that? And then later on in the article, it talked about another candlelight vigil that they had or something like that, and nearly 75 showed up. What's nearly 75? See how they lied to us? But anyway, my old buddy Mike Blake, look at this. This is right in our local paper. Mike Blake of Newark Center holds a Jesus Hates Sin sign outside the Denison Art Space, where a teen LGBTQ plus LGBTQ plus. See, they're trying to find every sexual deviant they can to try to get the numbers up. Well, so there's Mike. Can you make that picture bigger? I'm proud of Mike Blake. I created a monster. We've created a monster in Mike Blake. He's out there all by himself. Mike, I'm sorry, man. I don't know how I missed it. I'd have been there with you. God bless him. Jesus hates sin. Now, folks, is that a hate message? Mike spreading the hate message. You know, I saw another article. He was wearing his shirt. You know, the True Sounds Like Kate shirts. Oh, they didn't like that very well either. So God bless Mike Blake. This kind of stuff we're going to do this weekend is going to be 100 of us. We're going to have a ball. Let me shut up a minute. Let him invite somebody in after the weekend here. Somebody got something to say? What's up? Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I was preaching there at Street Vibrations, and I was out front of City Hall, and the demons came out, Satanists, all with just attack there. So it was interesting.
Yeah, folks, it's this. I keep coming back to this over the last few. Let me tell you what happened here in the Newark area. See, they tried to hold a deviant, sexual deviant thing at the library. And everybody raised a bunch of stink over that, so they couldn't hold the deviant event at the library. So look, good old Denison University. Yeah, that great college up on the hill there in Granville, Ohio, the mecca of lower living. Denison University, why, they are tolerant and diverse. They opened their Denison art space downtown for the people to gather and lure young children into. Denison University. So we wonder what we're fighting against. See, there it is. Okay, got some good stuff for you today. I was deciding whether I was going to show this or not. Still deciding whether I should. Let's do this one, Jared. Oh, I got so much stuff. Jared, let's go to a thing. It says post-Christian cities. It's right under the... you'll see it there. Post-Christian cities. Jared, just stay right there a second, will you, Jared? And let's go to Psalm 68. God bless Michelle, my wife. I love her so much. Been married to her 39 years. Every day I can't get up and I tell her I can't imagine what life would be without you. Can't imagine it. Psalm 68. Was that what you told me, sweetheart? Yeah, it was. Folks, I just want to read a little bit of this. And I hate to keep coming back to the fact that we better wake up and understand that God has enemies. I know that flies against everything Christian that you've ever been taught. All the love, 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 love gospel. I know that does. But Michelle read this to me yesterday, Sunday morning. Verse 1 of Psalm 68 says this. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Now hang on. Evidently, the Lord has enemies. I thought he loved everybody. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Now, wait a minute. You mean some people hate him? Come on now. Get your theology in line here. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Thumb ain't jiving here, boys. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. Well, who's them? As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. You mean they're wicked people? And you mean David's praying that they will perish? What? But let the righteous be glad. Wait a minute. So there's wicked and there's righteous? There are two teams here? What? I thought God loved everybody. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yeah. What are they? By the way, let them exceedingly rejoice. I'm not real good in English, but can somebody tell me what they're rejoicing over? I'm going to pause a minute because I don't want to influence anybody. Somebody just tell me what they're rejoicing over. Nobody?
Coach, they're rejoicing when they see the wicked flee because they know God's is making a difference.
Randy, that's the way I read it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does anybody disagree with me? Now, folks, let me double back here. God's love is available to everybody. I've said that a number of times. But it tells us in John 3 that apart from God, the wrath of God abides on us. The wrath of God. We are enemies. When we are in an unsaved condition, we are enemies of the cross. We are enemies of Christ. Now, listen. He's willing for you to come and be on his team. He would love to adopt you. His love is available to everybody. But when you are in an unsaved state, the love of God isn't abiding on you. The wrath of God. Does somebody think I'm missing it? I get more pushback over this simple thing right here than anything that I do. I get more pushback over it because we've been so programmed. We've been so programmed that we are so special that God died just for us. Hey, Jared, scroll on down a little bit more. This all sounds like doom and gloom. Let's see. Keep going. Okay. Here we stay right there, Jared. Verse 11. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. And kings of armies did flee apace. And she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though you have lean among the pots, yet shall you be as the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with gold. When the Almighty scatters kings in it, it was as white as snow. What? He scattered kings? 17, Jared. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Oh, he is... That is, our God is the God of salvation. And unto God, the Lord, belong the issues of death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies. Time out. Who would that be? I'm asking. Help me out here. God shall wound the head of his enemies.
The beast
and the hairy scalp of such as one as goeth on still in his trespasses. Trespasses mean sins. God shall wound the head. Somebody help. Who are his enemies that have hairy scalps?
The beast. Satan. Quote.
Satan? Think it's Satan?
That's what I think.
Any flesh or spirit.
Vic, it says plural. But God shall wound the head of his plural enemies. God has enemies. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be digged in the blood of thine enemies. That ain't Satan, Vic. And the tongue of the dogs in the same.
Well, then it would be like the Antichrist spirit that Alan speaks of. And that one can be true.
Oh, so the enemies, there are those who absolutely hate God. They are enemies. See, this is the dichotomy. That's a big word I learned. This is the problem. How can God love everybody and have enemies? How does that Amen. Work? How does that work? Folks, it's because we have a misunderstanding of love. God doesn't want any to perish. But boys and girls, if you're apart from Christ, the wrath of God abides on you. Why? Because you're an enemy of the cross. And that's what gospel's about. We're supposed to go rescue those who are perishing. Rescue the perishing. Because why? They are enemies of God. And it ain't gonna end good for them, okay? But instead, we are loving and welcoming into our midst the enemies of God. Coach, are you saying that the homosexuals are enemies of God? No, I'm just suggesting that. What do you guys think? Are child molesters enemies of God? Are abusers of themselves with mankind, are they enemies of God? Are those who prey upon the poor, are they enemies of God? Folks, we got our theology all messed up. all messed up. I feel like I'm talking to myself. Anybody want to pipe in? Do you want me to move on?
Coach, it sounds like you're talking a lot about reprobate minds, right? Minds are the ones that embrace all of that stuff that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. If you are a child of the devil, which we know the Bible says, Jesus said it himself a couple times, you are of your father, the devil. Here's the question.
Hey, Coach.
Does the God love the devil's kids?
Hey, Coach. Yeah.
Come on in.
I'm listening and I'm thinking of one of the greatest sermons ever preached, Jonathan Edwards.
Mm.
Sinners in the hands of an angry God.
Amen.
What happens to those that refuse to repent and stay in their sin and make excuses for it?
Mm-hmm.
They are enemies of God.
Mike, that's far. See, that's hard. Folks, this is why some of you are uncomfortable right now. Because if God loves everybody, how could he put him to death? How could he throw them in the lake of fire if he loves everybody? It's a misunderstanding of what love is. And I'm not going to go through it again. But see, we are loving, hear me, we're loving God's enemies. The Bible says, love your enemies. I love my enemies. I love my enemies. Am I to love God's enemies? Or am I to, again, protect the innocent?
Coach, you're to love them enough to tell them the truth, that if they don't repent and turn from their sin, they're going to bust hell's gates wide open.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. And I'm also love those little innocent children they're influencing more than I love the deviants. Is there something wrong with me?
No, sir.
I don't think there is, boys.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
People, a lot of people say, well, Coach, you're preaching out of the Old Testament. That's the Old Covenant. We don't need that. But okay, let's give them the truth here. Let's go over to Ephesians 5, Coach. Read about three verses. This is what Paul taught. This is exactly what you're saying. Ephesians 5. What's verse 2? Look at that. Walk in love. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, just for sake of time, skip down to verse 8 and start reading right there.
Hang on a minute, Randy. Hang on a minute, because I see a big word that jumped out right at me at verse 3, and that's but.
Yeah.
But. See, but cancels what you just read. All right?
Yeah.
But cancels what you just read. As we all walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, but fornication. In all cleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Can a Christian be in fornication and be in right relationship with God? The answer is very, very clear. Are homosexuals fornicating? Neither filthiness, what would that be? I wonder what that would be. Nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person. Hey, Vic, what's an unclean person? Is that somebody that has leprosy, you think? Is that what that is? An unclean person? For this,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, Coach, that's what it is.
That no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Folks, they're not his children. They are the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Randy, this is so good. For ye were sometimes dark. I used to be in the dark. Anybody out there used to be in the dark? I used to be in the dark and the wrath of God abided on me. But now, I'm light in the Lord, and I walk as children of the light. See, I went from being one plaything to being another one. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Is homosexuality acceptable to the Lord? Is fornication acceptable to the Lord? Is uncleanness acceptable to the Lord? And how about this? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Can you tell folks, do you understand that homosexuality is fruitless? It's fruitless. There is nothing that comes from the homosexual orgasm. Nothing. no fruit. Now, some of you say, well, Coach, I know people who are married and they can't have children. Well, they're fruitless. Well, yes, that's right to a point. But there's always a possibility a male and a female could produce fruit. A homosexual will never produce fruit, right? It's an unfruitful, Jared underlined that, it's an unfruitful works of darkness. Okay, Jared, time out. Jared, go to Webster's. It says to reprove them. Reprove who? Those who have something to do with unfruitful works of darkness. To reprove is to blame, to censure, to charge with a fault to the face, to chide, to reprehend, to blame for, to convince of a fault, to refute, to disapprove, to excite a sense of guilt, the manifest silent disapprobation or blame. Go back there, Jared, where we were. What? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, You know why, boys? For it's a shame even to talk about those things that they do in secret. It's a shame for us to even be talking about them. Pride month, right? Pride month. Whereas he said, wake thou sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and it isn't for dark sexual deviant behavior. Wow. Okay. Man, I don't know how I got on this so long. It's right there. So we're going to see some of these at the Homo Parade this weekend. That's why I want so many of you to come, because you will not believe what you see. You will not believe what you see. And I believe, according to what I just read, it's the job of Christians to stand up and reprove them. Come in. I hear somebody trying to come in.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Coach, that's me. Hey, I'm down in the city yesterday. That would be New York City. Went to the 9/11 memorial. Gay pride flags everywhere. Homosexuals walking, holding hands, male to male. There is an old church down there next to the new tower that's been built, probably built in the late 1700s, there about early 1800s. And when you're walking up on it, you know, it's got the Gothic look. And when you're walking up on it, you literally see the big phallic obelisk. It's a very big one there in the yard, and right next to it is the gay pride flag flying proudly right in the church property there. It's a sight to behold. And not to get off on this topic, but controlling a mass, the mass human mind seems to be very easy, because when I'm walking through the 9/11 memorial, which was a complete joke, there's absolutely nothing there of Building 7. It's like it never existed. And you're walking through there, and you see people weeping and all of this mass sympathy type thing. And I felt like it was very surreal being the only person seeming to know anything while I'm leaving. And I asked one of the receptionist, caretaker type people, guides, when I leave, do you know about Building 7? She had no idea about Building 7. I'm like, please research it. But I said all of that to say this, to associate this control of the human mind with the mass mind control of the human population in the gay community, to where it used to be kept in the crevices. Now everything's acceptable, and they come out in swarms in support, and they're angry, aggressive, and dangerous. And I see these videos of the gun girl interviewing these people, and I just know that each week that comes and goes, she's at more risk of somebody really physically attacking her or doing her harm, and I'm expecting to see that.
Well, you know, Bobby, this is crazy. I feel great empathy for those who are lost and trapped in that lifestyle. I hadn't even call it a lifestyle. David Arthur calls it a death style. I feel great empathy for him. I'm sorry. The number of lives, hang on, Vic. The number of lives, that not only is their own life destroyed, they've destroyed their family's lives. They've destroyed their lives of everyone around them. It's a destructive life lifestyle. And I have great empathy for them. One-on-one, I have great empathy for them. But as a movement and as an army that is destroying, that's hell-bent on destroying the very image bearers of God, my faith calls me to fight against that, not to accept it, not to love it. So there's a difference, see, between loving the individual and being at war against that spirit. Go ahead, Vic.
It's mind control. It's written all over it. And yes. and it's very fruitful. And now they can direct that mind control to any given topic. They can take it from homosexuality to accepting all the illegals that are coming in through the borders.
Hey, Vic, you know, I had a friend of mine whose child died a few months ago from drug overdose. And I said to my beautiful, loving wife of 39 years, what would make somebody smoke that stuff the first time? Let's say it's meth. Whatever you do with meth. I said, what would make them do that the first time? Because once they do it, seems to me they're hooked on it. And you know what, folks? That's the same of about any type of deviant behavior. I don't believe homosexuals have homosex. I believe when they have homosex the first time, it's like smoking crack. I think something spiritually enters into them that they can't break loose from any easier than they could crack cocaine. It takes almost a miraculous intervention of God in order to break through that. And it's mind control, and it's beyond that. It's demonic. And so I see people who are hooked on drugs, and I say, that wouldn't happen if they wouldn't have smoked that first doobie. I see people hooked on beer, say, they're alcoholics. That wouldn't happen. They hadn't had that first Budweiser. And I see people hooked on homosex that, boy, that wouldn't happen if they hadn't grabbed that male appendage of their friend. That would never happen. You see what I'm coming to?
Dave?
Yeah.
I your teaching this morning, I believe, is right on. But how do we handle, because they're in our midst regularly, well, you're never going to reach that homosexual telling him he's going to hell. You're never going to reach him this way. I don't view us going to the gay pride parade trying to reach them for salvation.
No.
I believe we go there to warn people.
We do. We go. You know why else, Roger? You know why else I go? I go there. I want people to see it. Because once you see it, you know it's not Billy and Tommy with a garden living down the street from you. You have to see it. The depth of the depravity has to be seen. Once you see it, you'll understand it. And they say, Coach, what do you feel like when you go to the gay pride? Here, Kyle, right wing watch, you can put this down if you want to. They say, what's your reaction? I said, well, I don't know whether to hug him or wait on him. I don't know. My feeling is so mixed. They're so broken. I see their brokenness. But at the same time, I want to squirt raid to keep it away from me. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't see this, folks, if you don't see this, if you don't go to the parade and you don't see the churches marching in it, you don't see the young kids. You know, I remember when David Arthur used to talk all the time about LGBTQRSP for pedophilia and that they recruit. Well, let me ask you, who are they recruiting?
They're recruiting our children, Coach.
Doesn't that not matter to us? If some guy's out, if I walk outside my house, I walk right out that studio door over there, and I go out there, and my grandson's been out there playing out there, and the neighbor man's over there pulling down my little grandson's pants, you think I'm going to love him? What y'all think?
Coach.
Am I going to go over there and share the gospel with the man as he's trying to molest my grandson? Heaven forbid. See, we have a horrible, horrible mindset. We don't understand. We don't understand this beast, this devilish beast called homosexuality that is so powerful that it's infiltrated the churches and is controlling all of modern Christianity. The homosexual movement is, folks. The churches are opening the door to it. Churches are. Churches are ordaining those who we just read in Ephesians. It shouldn't. Listen, I don't want to bear down on this too much. I'm stuck in a rut here.
Hey, Coach, to finish your answer to Roger, I think it's this, what we just read in Ephesians. We are reproving the unfruitful works of darkness. How can you reprove them if you've never seen them or to have a dialogue with them or they don't know? How can you reprove them if we stay in the four walls in the safe zone?
Amen, Randy. Amen. That's the way I see it. So you're going to get a chance to see him, the gay pride parade. It will be one of the most stunning things you've ever seen in your life. Jared, I said earlier, bring up post-Christian cities. This is I came across this. This shows the failure of the American church. I got so much to share with you today. Bear with me. Jared, I think I lost you on here. Let me find you on my screen here. There's everybody else. Where's Jared? There he is. The most post-Christian cities in America in 2019. This is from June. I just saw this. George Barna. God bless George Barna. He goes out and says, let's find out what's happened to the gospel. To qualify as a post, says right, freeze right there, Jared. To qualify as a post-Christian, individuals must meet 9 or more of our 16 criteria, which are listed below, which identify lack of Christian identity, belief, practice. These are cities now, folks. These factors include whether individuals identify as atheists, have never made a commitment to Jesus, have not attended church in the last year, or have not read the Bible in the last week. These kinds of questions compared to ticking the Christian box in a census get beyond how people loosely identify themselves, affiliations, to the core of what people actually believe and how they believe behave as a result of their beliefs. See, your belief results in a behavior, doesn't it? It should. These indications give a much more accurate picture of belief and unbelief in America. So here we are, the list of the top 10 post-Christian cities in America. You ready? Look at this. Number 1, Boston, Massachusetts area, 66%. Number 2, hey Mike Heath, Portland and Auburn, Maine, 60%. Hang on, some great stats here. You notice these things are all on the left coast or on the east coast? Providence, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Burlington, Vermont, Boston, Manchester, New Hampshire, Albany, Schenectady, Troy, New York, Hartford, Rochester, Santa Barbara, Santa Maria. That's the first left coaster. Seattle, Tacoma, Washington. Now, Jared, let's scroll down here a little bit. According to Barna's most recent data, which includes a number of new cities, let's go down. Here's some stats. Have not read the Bible in the last week. Springfield, Holyoke, Mass. 87% of the people have not read. Waco, Texas. 67% of the people have not read the Bible in the last week. Huntington, West Virginia. Have not. Have not attended a church in at least 6 months. Springfield, Massachusetts. 65% of the people haven't been to a church in 6 months. Waco and Temple, Bryan, Texas. 45%. Have never made a commitment to Jesus. Springfield, Massachusetts, 60% of the people have never made a commitment. Waco, Temple, 32%. Huntington, have not prayed to God in the last week. Springfield, isn't that where the witch trial was? Isn't somewhere out in there?
Salem, Massachusetts,
yeah,
Coach.
Yeah. This is illustrative, isn't it?
Hey, that's all in my neighborhood, man.
My brother, that's what I'm telling you. Hey, where do you think Chappaqua is in this one, boys? Where do you think that one is? Disagree that faith is important in their lives. Do not believe in God. Well, 11%. So see, first of all, which God, right? Which God? Scroll on down. Keep on going down. This is fascinating. I'll make this available for you guys to go into the queue. Post-Christian rankings by city. Here you go. Find your city there. The number one the worst, most unchristian city in America is Springfield, Holyoke, Massachusetts. There they are as they go down through there. Where's Columbus, Ohio? Columbus is 59th, 42%. Where's yours? Cleveland, Canton, Dayton, Cincinnati. Look at them down through there. These are people who have absolutely no idea. Time out. And you go to Haiti for a mission trip? How come some of you aren't going to Springfield, Massachusetts? Burlington, Vermont? Scroll on down, Jared. Amazing. Indianapolis, look at that. Hamburg, Lancaster, PA, Charleston, Huntington, 30. In old, no teeth, Charleston, West Virginia, 32% of the people are post-Christian. Wow. To qualify as a post-Christian, individuals need to meet nine of more of these following factors. Nine of the 13 they got to meet. Don't believe in God. Identify as an atheist, disagree that faith is important, have not prayed to God, have never made a commitment to Jesus, disagree the Bible is accurate, have not donated money to a church, have not attended a church, Christian church, do not feel responsible, agree that Jesus committed sins, do not feel a responsibility to share their faith, have not read the Bible, have not volunteered at church, have not attended Sunday school, have not attended a religious small group, Bible engagement scale low, not born again. So there's our problem, see? Our problem isn't Haiti. Our problem in Afghanistan. Our problem's Holyoke, Massachusetts. That's what we're dealing with, folks. That's the ineffectiveness of the church. Comments on that before I move on?
Yeah, I got a comment. I'll tell you what is exploding is full-blown Satanism. Every time I walk outside, I am seeing inverted pentagrams, be it on the body, occult symbology, or on clothing. Listen, I was teaching a class a week and a half ago, and I got a full-blown Satanist in front of me, and she's all decked out in your Ouija shirts and wearing inverted pentagrams and is as satanic as you can imagine. It's everywhere. It just seems to be exploding to me.
Well, remember what I said, the Black Awakening? The Black Awakening? And one of the things that we've seen happening is the churches have lost, the salt has lost its savor. So we're not pushing back. We're not a force against the darkness anymore.
Yeah, Coach. You know what's ridiculous?
Go ahead.
It's the Satanists, right? They had the stupid Baphomet statue, and they got a group to protest that. But they make fun of us. Like Saul Silverman just came out with this stupid video. Fred Armisen, one of these big players on the shows, is playing Jesus and doing all kinds of stupid crap, and no one complains about it. I found this video back from November 2018, and it's stupid. No one pushes back for us.
I know. So we have to begin to push back. We have to. Listen, I got to shift gears here real quickly. Most of you know we're going to go back to Chappaqua. Mark Trump, I think it was Mark, he or Matt, found this most unbelievable video. Jared, it says the Hillary crime video is what it says. Folks, this is amazing. I know that we are striking the right target, no matter what everybody else says. Mark Trump found this. This was a year ago. Now, this video is 14 minutes and 34 seconds. I'm not going to show all of it. But did you guys know that Congress demanded the arrest of Hillary Clinton and the appointment of a second special counsel a year ago? Did anybody know that? Hey, by the way, did you notice Hillary's brother died? Have you noticed a string of, how do we say it? Suspicious deaths. As the deep state begins to get exposed, a police chief in New York City who's working closely with Anthony Weiner's laptop killed himself. Two representatives, one in Arkansas, who was investigating the Clinton and whatever goes on down there and found herself dead. Another one. Did you guys know that a year ago, our elected officials demanded she be indicted? You didn't? Well, how come?
We're almost Hillary's handler died. Hillary's the guy that took care of her.
Yep. Something going on here, boys. Play it, Jared. A year ago, we're on to something. We're on to something, folks.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for coming out. We have at least 19 members of Congress who will be introducing today a 12-page House resolution detailing misconduct at the highest levels of the Department of Justice and Federal Bureau of Investigation. It will be outlining FISA abuse, how and why the Hillary Clinton email probe ended, and how and why the Trump-Russia probe began. This resolution also calls for the appointment of a second special counsel to investigate the gross misconduct, with the understanding that the Justice Department cannot be expected to investigate itself. It's very important to note that the ranks of the DOJ and FBI are filled with amazing, patriotic Americans who love their job, take their oaths seriously, and perform their jobs objectively with much respect for the rule of law. These are historic, legendary agencies that require transparency and accountability regarding the misconduct that took place. But it's important for these exceptional public servants to, and these important agencies to continue their work moving forward stronger than ever before.
But
the resolution states the concerns of the American people are serious, and the issues requiring an immediate, unbiased, independent, and thorough investigation are broad. In just the past few days, we learned that the DOJ, FBI, or both, appeared to have planted at least one person into Donald Trump's presidential campaign to infiltrate and surveil the campaign.
This is a year old.
This action alone reminds us of just how necessary this resolution is, as well as the appointment of a second special counsel. First, we will discuss some of the misconduct related to how and why the Hillary Clinton email probe ended. Then we will get into details related to the FISA abuse that took place. And finally, we will discuss the misconduct with regards to how and why the Donald Trump-Russia probe began. With regards to Secretary Clinton, federal law and State Department rules, regulations, and protocol were violated with her use of a private email server in her Chappaqua, New York home.
The only
official
one.
Communications were transmitted on an unsecured server and included emails that contained classified information when they were sent. In addition,
the only
other
two.
Emails which were retroactively deemed classified by the Department of State. Former FBI Director James Comey has acknowledged that 65 of these illicit emails were classified as secret, and 22 were classified as top secret. There is significant evidence that the use of this private server by Secretary Clinton was meant to avoid compliance with the Freedom of Information Act, 5 U.S.C. 552, and
only
thus
four.
Obstruct justice by not having to turn over incriminating emails in the case of
the only
subpoena.
Five.
Various sensitive emails subject to grand jury and congressional subpoenas were destroyed on Secretary
the
Clinton's private
six.
Server through the use of BleachBit software and the destruction of hardware before they could be obtained by investigators in March 2015. In a September 2015 meeting between then Attorney General Loretta Lynch and then Director Comey, the Attorney General instructed Director Comey to refer to the Clinton email investigation as a matter, thus watering down the severity of the investigation and aligning the Justice Department's rhetoric with the messaging of the Clinton campaign. Cheryl Mills, who served as counselor and chief of staff to Hillary Clinton during her tenure as Secretary of State, was offered immunity from prosecution in exchange for access to her laptop that contained many of the questionable emails. According to transcripts obtained by the Senate Judiciary Committee, former Director Comey was prepared to exonerate Hillary Clinton as early as April or May of 2016 when he began to draft a statement.
Sir, you can hold this down. This goes on, folks, for 14 minutes. Now, here's what we found out. Thank God for Matt. Matt, are you out there? You've done some research, Matt. You now know, we now know, Matt, who these 19 congressmen are, and we're going to get a hold of them, aren't we, Matt?
Yep, we are. We're going to call all of the congressmen. We're going to write them, and we're going to ally with them so that they actually have support of the people. That, Coach, you keep pointing out that that was a year ago. That's 12 months ago. Where is it? Why hasn't anything been done when members of Congress who make the law are coming out and saying that? Right? Where is it? It's nowhere to be found. Why is that? It's because they don't have anybody backing them or pushing them forward or working with them. That's Amen. Our job. That's our job. We, the people, we got to get together and support these guys and what they're doing to push and use that word, Coach, force action to happen. Because the DOJ, you heard what he said. He said the DOJ is complicit and the DOJ is working hand in hand with the Clinton campaign. So no, so the DOJ isn't going to do this unless if they're forced to follow the rules and follow the law.
What say you, Mark Trump? You still in here, Mark? I caught you off guard. What say you?
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
We hear you. What say you, man? I know you've been digging into this too.
Well, it's like this. We got a group of people who are like-minded. They're in congressional roles, and they tried to launch this campaign a year ago. So I guess you got a couple ideas here. We want to reach out to them to identify if they're still on the warpath. Can we bond together? Can they use our support? Look at what we've done. Share our links with them. But in addition, is who do these congressmen represent? So there's individual states out there that are standing up, and their congressmen are vocalizing that. So who do we have? Who do we have, Coach?
We're gonna up the ante on these guys, aren't we, Mark? We're gonna go back and reconnect with these 19 congressmen who right. a year ago did what we're doing. A year ago they called right. for her indictment, right?
Right. And they we're didn't a get year a late.
Second.
Look.
They didn't get a second from anybody.
That's right. If we had a timed this, right whenever they released this letter to Congress, right? If we had been timed that way, but now we're a year later, but maybe they still want to do these things. Maybe they need something to overcome a threshold to put it on Trump's agenda.
That's right. That's right. They need encouragement from the crowd out here. See, all those right. people they're laughing at, say, you don't get it. I'm just telling you, you don't get it, man. This is Holy Spirit led. Can you imagine if we got all just the people here in the queue? We're heading this way, by the way. Just the people in the queue. If you contacted your people and we gave you a list of these congressmen and we all called them and said, hey, what's going on with the indictment of Hillary Clinton? Hey, we watched that video where you guys stood. What's going on? Where is that thing? We're with you. In fact, do you know that we are also pushing it? Did you know that we have a website called Equal Justice Tour? Do you know that we're going back to Chappaqua? You folks, do you see the power of what can happen here? By the way, Jared, pull up equaljusticetour.com. Go ahead, Mark.
Just while we're thinking about this, these senators, these congressmen represent the states that we in Coach's Huddle are in. So who better to work with those individual state senators than one of us? So what Matt's doing is he's organizing, I believe, we need to talk and catch up, but he's organizing the list of those senators and getting contact information. And let's say there's 11 of them. All right. Mm-hmm. You'll get a sheet with 11 congressmen's contact information, whether that be web links, info forms, email addresses, phone numbers, whatever, letters, physical addresses. The bottom line is, you got 11 congressmen. So not only can we jump on the bandwagon with our local states and pick up that cross personally.
Amen.
All right. Is we can also contact all 11. Even though we're not in these other states, we can support it. Moreover, is everyone else in the queue can write a similar type of letter right to your local congressman. So maybe that's a whole secondary thing. But the idea is we have an opportunity to reach out to this group of congressmen. Let's use this as an opportunity for each one of us to do this work.
Because Randy Lunsford opened a threshold.
Well, not only that, Coach, check it out. You know who sent me that video link? It was Randy Lunsford.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you, brother. And it's just like, That's how you see God working. And
you need to watch that. Jared, put that in the huddle here, wherever you can. That link, folks, you got to watch that 14 minutes. It just goes on and on. A year ago, these guys were saying this. A year ago, they were saying.
Well, at that time frame, we had a weak guy up there, Attorney General.
Well, not only that, we had Paul Ryan.
Yeah, right. Well, we know that Attorney General made it weak.
Yeah, he made it weak. Coach, I don't know the validity of this, but Judy mentioned that they could be the conservative caucus.
Could be.
I don't know.
That is correct. They are the members of the conservative caucus.
Right.
All of the names, the states they're in, the addresses of their offices and the phone numbers for their offices are listed in the email that I sent you guys yesterday, as well as the 8-page letter that they had drafted. That's down at the very bottom of it.
Okay, so Matt.
All that information's there.
Matt's done great work. We're not going to unleash this initiative yet, but we're going to do it soon, folks. And one of the things we're going to do is we're going to have – you guys are going to begin to call these congressmen, and you're going to get a hold of somebody at the congressional office and say, listen, don't blow me off here. I need a contact of somebody that I can send this information to that you will give some serious consideration to what we're doing. And as we begin to do this, and as we begin to be the, become that squeaky wheel that gets the grease, folks, she's the hub of it, boys and girls. She is the hub. Don't let there be any mistake about it. She will go. She will be the key to not. Randy already opened that threshold, baby. And she is going to, she's going to come down, and so are many more around us. Why? Because we demand equal justice. Pull that back up there, Jared. Equal justice. Folks, I would ask you, please share this website. Now, as you scroll down through it, Jared, scrolling down there through it, we got all kinds of stuff there, man. There's videos on there. There's live streaming links. There's picture gallery. Send this to people. Say, here's what we're doing. Here's what's going on. Because I know this, she is the most hated woman in America. She may have a lot of people that love her. She's the most hated woman in all of America. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. And so when we begin to, argument, equal justice, people get it. They get it. They know there's no equal justice. And we can awaken a movement. That's what I believe. 3 minutes left. Somebody come in here, help me wind up here.
Well, you know, once again, I got to say, when you let the guilty get away with crime, they only do worse crime as a result. So we have to put her away.
We have to. Listen, I believe that the whole case is being busted open. But I forgive her. I'm going to forgive her and then let her sit in jail and find Christ. That's what I want. That's what I want. I forgive her. I have no animosity towards her. But that spirit of Jezebel and the impact that it's having on our nation and on my children, I'm very angry about that. I'm very angry about that. I hate that.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Real quick, just a thank you for all of the work that Jared's put into the website. And Mike, he's supporting. A lot of the short turnaround work that he got done through this process, y'all see what it looks like. And people have asked me who does a website. So I've been referring people over to Jared.
Jared's awesome.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, Jared, real quickly, pull up the Facebook page. By the way, Mike and Polly Heath are running our Equal Justice Facebook page. Pull that up there real quick. This is another thing, folks, that if you're on Facebook, you have to share this, because I know Polly's putting a lot of time and effort and energy into keeping this thing populated. I'm sorry, Jared, I didn't give you more of a heads up on it. But it's
well, Coach, it takes years for investigations to stockpile evidence, just like these two planes went over there to their agency and took all their paperwork.
Yeah, they got the evidence, though, brother. They got the evidence. There's a Facebook page, the Call for Equal Justice, and Polly is keeping that thing populated. Share that on your Facebook. Share it. Folks, we can win. We can win this fight, but we have got to engage in it now. Now's the time that we have to do it. Now's the time that the threshold is down. Now is the time that the window is open. And we cannot be dissuaded by naysayers and people who have other plans. We know, those of us who have eyes to see, understand like a laser beam that the Lord is honoring what we're trying to do here, folks. We got to share it. We've got to spread the word. We got to get involved. So in the next few days, we're going to be putting together a list of congressmen that we're going to call, a plan of attack. And we're going to say, I'm melting. I'm melting. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch, old witch, the wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. Don't give up hope. We'll see you tomorrow.